We're going to start in the book of Acts this morning. Some of you might know where we're going. Acts chapter number 19 and verse number 20. I had this keep coming back. I was looking to go another direction for a camp meeting, and it just kept coming back to something I've been preaching on. Amen. So we're going to talk about prevailing this morning. Amen. We were preaching on this here, and then last Sunday, we preached on it in Lee's Summit. And then it just came back up in my heart. The Lord's not done with it yet. Amen. Acts chapter number 19, verse number 20. Anybody know what it says? So mightily grew the what? The word and what? Prevailed. Praise God. That's what really, if you want to sum it up, that's what ministry is really all about, is the word of God getting into people's lives. Of course, being born again. We understand the new birth is first, but after the new birth, one of the first things people got to do is get the word in them. Yeah. Which renews our minds, right? Feeds our spirits. Excuse me. And so that word will do mighty, mighty things. Notice, mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It'll do mighty things, powerful things. It'll do things that you can't do for yourself. Things you've been trying to do. Things generations before you have been bound with. Maybe tried to follow you. But the word of God can prevail over anything that tries to afflict your life. Praise God. And so it has to be planted. Remember, we were sharing, I don't know how many of these things. You've maybe watched the service from Lee's Summit. Last Sunday, Lee's Summit, we had some tremendous utterance on this. And we were talking about the word prevail means really to be greater than, or to overpower, or to move in and take charge. Amen. How many of you know the word, when it takes charge? Yeah. Isaiah 55 talks about the word of God has ability in it. Yes. Where it talks about, you know, remember, my ways are above your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts, so forth and so on. But as the rain comes down from heaven and returns not thither, except as waters the earth, it might give seed to the sower. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It'll not return unto me void, remember? But it will what? Accomplish. It will accomplish that which I please. It will what? Prosper. So it has accomplishing ability in it. It has ability to make you successful in an area you've been unsuccessful in. And that is the will of God. Remember, Joshua 1:8 talks about having, prospering and having good success.
That's right.
Success doesn't just mean finances. I mean, he wants you to have success in your marriage, right? Every area. So it has ability to make you a success. It has accomplishing ability. Amen. Somebody just said, well, what does the word prevail mean? When I was studying this, I saw this a couple years ago, but I was reminded of it when I was so led back to this again here recently, that the opposite of the word prevail literally in the Greek means I can't. I can't. Let's take, for example, there's a verse where the woman with the issue of blood, remember the Bible said she had suffered many things of many physicians and had was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. You remember that? Well, if you look at that in Luke's account, Luke talks about this, and he says in, I'm looking for the account here, I'm not seeing it, but in Luke's account that it says she had been to many doctors, you remember that? And the Bible says that she could not be healed of any of them. I don't know why I didn't. I got the verse right in front of me somewhere. But she couldn't be healed of any of those doctors. And that's literally the opposite of the word prevail.
Right.
She couldn't.
Right.
In other words, here's a situation where nothing could fix it.
Right.
Nothing. Right. Doctors couldn't fix it.
Uh-huh.
But how many of you know, if man can't do it, that doesn't mean God says what? I don't know what to do either.
Right.
There's ability.
Right.
God has ability for you and I to do things that we can't do. And when the doctors in the woman with issue of blood's case, the doctors got to the end of all their ability. But there was ability available in God. And the woman with issue of blood tapped into that. And she got something done that could not be done. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So that word prevailed, you might say. It prevailed over it.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Now, the reason it's a prevailing force, the Word of God is a prevailing force, is because it is what gives us faith. Amen.
Amen.
Faith is the victory. Victory means something is opposing you. Amen. I don't have victory over something that's not opposing me. Victory is for something that's opposing me, and I just can't seem to get past it. So this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Are you going to preach on faith again, Pastor? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to dance with the one that brung me. I'm telling you, I'm living my best life. You know what I'm talking about? But see, it's not because, you know, God just took a liking to me. He looked over the banister of heaven one day and he saw me, poked Gabriel's arm and said, "You see that good looking Pennsylvania boy down there?"
Come on.
Well,
I got to encourage myself in the Lord, you know. I can look at some of you and see you need the encouragement. I'm just, I'm just kidding. You know whom the Lord loveth, the pastor picketh on, right? Okay. But no, he didn't just take a liking to me.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
I said, he didn't just take a liking to me. Listen, let me tell you something about the word. It's an equal opportunity word.
Yes.
Amen.
Faith it levels the playing field.
Right.
Amen. No matter what your background.
Yes.
Because when you look at my pedigree,
yeah,
you won't be impressed. It's not quite as bad as one guy. He said, "My family tree is a nut tree." You know, my family tree is not that bad.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Some of us don't have any pedigree in the natural.
Yeah.
But it's not about your background.
Right.
It's about what you do with the word.
Amen.
So this word can prevail.
Yes.
Prevail. I remember, I better not say that, but I'll say it in general terms. Maybe I don't want to make anybody look bad. But some individuals came to me and said, you know, some of the things that followed our family, they said, some individuals, they came to me and they said, "That's done."
Yeah.
In our generation, they had enough revelation of the word. They realized that's not God and that's done.
Amen.
And it stopped in our generation.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I don't believe in generational curses. That's not what I'm talking about. It's just that the devil, you can be raised in a certain atmosphere and pick up that pick up what's in that atmosphere. But we said, no, we're going to prevail over that with the word of God.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So, but I want you to go over to Mark 11, 23. Anybody heard of Mark 11, 23? Mark chapter number 11, verse number 23. What would a camp meeting be like without going to Mark 11, 23? Notice it talks about, we're familiar with this. Verse 22, "Have faith in God," means the faith of God.
Yes, sir.
"For verily I say unto you," truly, truly I say unto you, "that whosoever," poke your neighbor and say, that would include you and me. "Whosoever shall say," oh, Jesus, that gets persecuted so much in the church world as at large. You know, these people that believe they can have what they say.
Come on now.
People say, "Well, that just sounds nuts." People believe you can have. Well, you just called Jesus a nut.
Yeah, come on.
Come on. Well, no, you just called Jesus a nut.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, Bill O'Reilly used to be on Fox News, and I knew when he fell. But he was doing something one night talking about people that believe in all these miracles and crossing of the Red Sea is a miracle and all this. And he said, "Those are just allegories. They aren't miracles." I got so stirred up, I sent him a letter. I emailed him.
Right.
I said, "You just called Jesus a liar."
Uh-oh.
Oh. I yelled it over the internet. Because he was saying people that believe that Jonah got swallowed by a fish, that's just an allegory. Those miracles didn't really happen. I said, "You just called Jesus a liar, because Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth." Jesus said he was in the belly of the fish.
That's right.
Come on.
How'd I get on that? I don't know how I got on that. But see, people say, "Well, you know, there's people that say you can have it." Jesus is the one that said you'll have what you say.
Right.
He did not say you can have what you say. He said you will have what you say. You and I. Notice what he said, Mark 11:23. Whosoever, that's you and me, shall do what? Say. Now notice here he's talking about saying to something. Say unto this mountain. Go down to verse 24. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. Verse 24 is to bring things into your life that God wants in your life. Verse 23 is to get things out of your life that aren't supposed to be in your life. Verse 23, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. In other words, get out of my life. And be thou cast into the sea. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. You ought to underline or circle whosoever up there in verse, the top of the verse, and then verse 23 at the bottom. Whatsoever. Yes, whosoever will have whatsoever he saith. Yes, so what this verse is telling you and I is that things will listen to us. We're to talk to them.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Now here he refers to a mountain. That's just an illustration.
Yes.
It would work on a mountain, but he's using an illustration. I was meditating on some things one day, and the Lord started talking to me about mountains. Yeah. Anybody want to see what a mountain really is? Because this really helped me whenever I realized how, realize what a mountain really means. A mountain, like for example, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and, there in Pennsylvania, there was what do they call them? The Appalachian Mountains. And so a mountain, it's basically something. We were in a little valley. Not a little valley. It's, I don't know how many miles wide, quite a few miles wide. Not over 20 miles wide, I don't think. Probably less than that. But on both sides, mountains again, Appalachians.
Yeah. Yeah.
The house I lived in, where I grew up, there was a mountain less than a mile away. I mean, it's a pretty good sized mountain. Not like Colorado, but you understand.
Right.
So that mountain was there the day I was born.
Yeah.
That mountain was there when I was 5 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old. I wasn't living there at 20, but it's still there today.
Yeah.
In fact, it was there long before I got, before I was born.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A mountain. So you ever heard the term everlasting hills?
Yeah. Come on.
Some of you heard that term. Anybody else ever heard that term, everlasting hills? A mountain. Why do we say the everlasting hills? Because mountains are something that just have been there all the time,
right,
and probably going to be there a long time,
right,
after we're gone.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
So when we talk about a mountain, what is a mountain? The Lord started talking to me about this one day, and he said, basically, a mountain is something that seems impossible.
All right.
Yeah, amen. It represents something that's always been that way.
Amen.
Right? In your life.
Yes.
And amen. Over and over again, you look and there it is.
Come on.
Are you still glad you came?
Yes.
And sometimes it's telling you it's always going to be that way.
Right.
It's a permanent fixture of your life.
Yeah.
It's a permanent view of your life.
Yeah. Come on.
You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Something that never changes.
Yeah.
Something that month after month, year after year, decade after decade, just seems to stay and not move.
Yeah.
It's something that people often accept as inevitable.
Right. Come on.
Come on.
It's just a necessary hardship.
Yes.
In fact, they start making plans accordingly. If you're going to build a road, you don't want to go through that mountain, so you got to go around it. So rather than, address it, it just seems like it's so permanent. It's always been there. We'll just go around it. You understand what I'm talking about? And so people begin to modify their plans accordingly. Because that's what a mountain is. It's something we're not going to, that's too big. For us, that's too big. So we'll just make plans to go around it. We'll just make plans to let it there. We'll just make plans that it's kind of inevitable. It's going to be there all the time. It's just something that runs in our family. You understand? Now you're getting it. You understand what we're saying? It's just something that's like a permanent fixture. It's always been that way. I've always had this mental bondage. I've always lived in lack. I've never had more than enough. I've never experienced real victory in my body. I've always been sickly, whatever. That's your mountain.
That's right.
Yep. Yep.
But Jesus said something will move it.
Yes.
There's something greater than you.
Amen.
called the faith of God that'll move your mountain. Whoo, glory. Glad some of you came to church this morning. So when we say, when Jesus says here, say unto this mountain, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, don't doubt in his heart, believe those things we say come to pass, it'll come to pass. He'll have whatever he says. He's talking about prevailing over something that seems impossible. That's really a prevailing verse. Mark 11:23 is a prevailing verse. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Prevailing, so mightily grew the word and prevailed. Prevailing is a dominion word. This is something that you you exercise dominion through your words. Your words. That's what I'm really wanting to talk to you about, as take this prevailing that we've been teaching and talk about prevailing through your words. Hallelujah. Because what we've been sharing about prevailing over the last couple of services has been the word prevailing in you. You know what I mean? It brings light from God. We talked a lot about the identity. The Word of God will prevail over wrong identities. It'll show you that you've been living. You meditate on the word of righteousness, for example. That'll prevail over the mountain, if you want to say, of condemnation somebody's been living under. Now, no longer live with that hounding voice of condemnation. They live with the right. They're established in righteousness. Yes. Amen. Amen. Wrong self-image can be a mountain. Yes. But we've been talking up the last two services. We've been talking about the Word of God prevailing in you first, because you can't expect it to get it to prevail against your circumstances if you don't get it in you and prevail in you first. Amen. So mightily grew the Word of God, and then it prevailed. See, it has to grow in the soil of your heart. The Bible talks about, remember the parable of the sower. Sower sows the word, soil of your heart. I know this is so simple, but you know I still go back to these things.
Yes, amen.
Listen very carefully. Anything that keeps prevailing against you is an indication of a low level of word in that area.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Whether it's the Word of God planted in you or the Word of God in your mouth. Because Mark 11:23 has the word in two places, the heart and the mouth.
Yes.
Heart, say it out loud, heart and mouth.
And mouth.
That's the way the faith of God works.
Yes.
That's how you got born again.
Yes.
Do you know Satan completely lost his supremacy over you by the Word of God coming to you and you receiving it and speaking it with your mouth?
Amen. That's it.
Satan is so weak, he's defeated with words. You were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son with faith in the Word of God that put faith in your heart and came out your mouth. That's how weak the devil is. Don't talk about how big and bad he is. He's been defeated. Been defeated.
Right.
Praise God. Go over to Colossians. Look at something in Colossians chapter number 2. I saw this. I was thinking about this. You're familiar with this verse, but you know, until you see it again, you won't remember which one I'm referring to here. But go to Colossians chapter number 2. Notice what it says in verse number 6. Colossians 2 verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So, okay, stop right there. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. As I have received, how did I receive Jesus as my Lord? With faith. I believe I received him by faith, right? Okay, so as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, our Lord, that's by faith. Now notice what it goes on to say. Notice the next few words. So walk ye in him. The thing I get out of that is people get born again by faith. And then that's where they stop using their faith. Thank God I'm saved. Yeah, but that same faith that made him Savior, brought him into your life as Savior, you can take it and because he's a lot more than Savior.
Come on.
Is that what we see in the Word? He's a lot more than Savior.
Yeah.
How about the Lord is my shepherd?
Yes. Yes.
I shall not want.
Right.
How about that he's our comforter?
Yes.
How about he's Jehovah Jireh?
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. There's a psalm in the Old Testament that says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in him. Well, see, he's a lot more than Savior.
That's right.
Oh, if you're going to get anything, get salvation.
Come on now. Come
but why on earth would you stop there?
Come on. Amen.
Come on.
So take that same faith. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. In other words, your whole life should be a walk of faith in Jesus, regardless of which hat he's wearing. Because he wears a lot of hats all at once, if you know, to use human terms, you know. He's my provider. He's my comforter. He's my strength. He's my high tower. He's my righteousness. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's my healer. Praise God, Jehovah Rapha, my healer. So don't just call him Savior. Take that same faith and start calling him everything that he is. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. That's the way I get up a lot of mornings. I just get up. I usually start in at the new birth. Father, thank you that I'm born again. Thank you that the greater one lives on the inside of me. Thank you, Father God, that I'm translated out of the kingdom of darkness. And I just start there, and then I just go wherever the Holy Ghost goes.
Amen.
Come on.
Praise the Lord. That's better than coffee when you need it. That'll wake you up. Some of us are still growing, but then, you know. I love chances to save and things like that. All right. Now, let's go over to, in our thought life. You don't have to turn there, but think about Joshua 1:8.
Yes.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt what?
Meditate
therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written in. Then thou make the way prosperous. Okay, so it's meditation.
Right.
The first, but meditation includes this word, you know, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Meditation includes, if you look it up, it means to mutter to yourself,
right.
To ponder, to think on, to mutter to yourself.
Right. Yeah.
So this stage of saying something, because
right.
muttering to yourself is saying something, this stage of saying something, this stage... I'm just talking about this first stage, is really not doing anything to change your circumstances.
Right. Amen.
This first phase of confession, you might say, it's confession. It might not seem to change anything in your circumstances, but keep on saying it. Because the first thing it changes is what you believe. There is a confession of faith, and there's a confession unto faith.
That's right.
Somebody said, but I don't believe it. Well, just keep saying it.
That's right.
Because you believe what you say more than you believe what anybody else says.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
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 Did you get that?
Yeah.
In other words, you can school your own spirit into faith.
Yes.
Not only can you should.
Yeah.
That's what Joshua 1:8 told you to do.
Yeah.
And many other verses.
Yeah, that's
school your own spirit into faith. Well, I just don't believe, you know, that part about healing or that part about this or that. I just don't believe that. Well, just keep saying that,
that's
and your
right.
spirit will keep reacting to that.
Yep. Amen.
What you say registers on your own spirit.
Right.
You ever read? Let me go back here and see if I can find this myself, because I'm just off my notes here. But it's in Psalm chapter number 77, I believe. Psalm chapter 77, in verse number 3, I remembered God and was troubled. Now, that might sound strange. I remember God and was troubled. In other words, if you look at the whole passage, he was complaining or he was down because he's looking at people in the world just seem to doing well, and here I am serving God, and, you know, I'm having all this come against me. You've never felt like that at all, have you? But I remembered God you know, it bothered me. Here I am serving God. And if you read the whole chapter, he got out of it. But look at verse 3. I remembered God and was troubled. Then notice what he said. I complained I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Say that out loud. He complained, and his spirit was overwhelmed. You ought to circle the word complain and put a line out to the margin and say, and write with his mouth. Because you don't complain with your toe or your arm or your ear. You complain with your mouth.
Yes.
You ever had your children complain? Any parents in here? You heard their children? Did they do it with their elbow? How did they do it? They did it with their mouth. So I complained. Do the, he's right out to the margin of your Bible with his mouth. I complained. I noticed. And my spirit.
Yeah.
My spirit.
Spirit.
My spirit. In other words, what I said with my mouth affected my spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Right.
Whenever I said things with, there's things, you know, I used to say all the time. Somebody say, how you doing? I say, oh, just busy. Just keep. And the Lord finally one day, he said,
yeah.
Stop saying that.
Yeah.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. Right.
Come on.
Stop saying that.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean we're not active.
Right.
And have responsibilities and we're attending to our responsibilities. Right. But to say busy, busy, busy all the time, it has the effect of just keeping you kind of jumpy and going. And, you know, whenever you do get a chance to relax, you just still don't relax because you've schooled your own spirit. And.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being all, you know, worked up all the time.
Right, right, yeah.
Right. Right.
Nobody on the front row, but anybody on the second row? I complained and my spirit.
Yes.
See that?
Yeah.
Your words affect your spirit.
Yes.
Now, he's talking in the negative. Will it work in the reverse?
Yes.
Will it work in the opposite direction?
Yes.
Will it work to build faith into your spirit?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Remember the woman with the issue of blood?
Yeah.
Bible said, King James doesn't point it out, but if you look at the Greek, it points it out real clear. In fact, I think some other translations, maybe the Amplified points it out. It doesn't say when she heard of Jesus.
Right.
I mean, the King James says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, remember that, if I may touch it. The Greek actually says she kept saying. She kept saying. She kept saying. She heard, and then she kept saying what she heard. Not she felt in her body, you know, the issue of blood and kept saying, I don't know how I'm going to get this issue of blood stopped. She didn't keep saying, maybe she had been saying that, but when she heard the word, the message about Jesus, the healer, she changed and started saying something different.
Yes. Amen.
And what she do is she's schooling herself into faith.
Amen.
And she, see, that's what you need to do this week. If you've come to receive healing or something, you start saying right now, let's say you're going to have hands laid on you. When hands are laid on me, or something like that, so when, that power will go into me.
Yes, amen.
Don't wait and start saying that right before you get in the healing line. Nothing wrong with, but I'm just saying, build it into your spirit.
Yes, sir, amen.
Build that expectation into your, anyway. So the first phase of confession really is not going to do much for the circumstances.
Right.
First phase.
Yes.
A lot of times, maybe not always, because some of you got the word in you, but sometimes there's people that haven't got the word in them much, and their confession, they don't actually believe it when they start saying it.
Right.
Now, don't misunderstand me. The devil will never tell you that you believe the word.
Right.
You go to ask the devil, do I believe yet? He'll say, no, you don't believe yet. And you'll tend to agree with him because your head never will believe the word.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Your head never will believe the word.
All right.
Faith is not of the head. Faith is of the heart.
Amen.
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 And you can believe things in your heart that your head doesn't believe.
That's right. That's right.
So don't let the devil tell you, no, you've been hearing the word for 20 years. You still don't believe. Oh, that's probably not true.
That's
you still, you wouldn't keep coming if you didn't believe.
Right.
So many times people do believe, but the devil's telling them they don't believe because their head doesn't believe yet.
That's right.
But you can believe something in your heart that your head doesn't believe yet.
Amen.
I've never received healing yet and understood with my head how that works.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
Come
on. I transacted with heaven bypassing my mind.
Right.
I made a transaction.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And so the first stage is going to be schooling yourself into the Word of God into you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Then when that Word gets into your spirit and brings light, then faith has come.
Right.
Now, when faith comes, your words will not just change the inner image. The words that you speak will take on creative power, which will change your circumstances. Does that make any sense? Well, it might not, but it's true anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible, I've had this happen a number of times. I'll give you an illustration. Lillian B. Yeoman's testimony. She had a healing home, and she had a lady that came to her in the last stages of, I don't remember what disease it was, but it was the doctors couldn't do it anymore, and it was a death sentence. Yes. And so Lillian B. Yeoman took in people in that condition. Yeah. And so she came to Lillian B. Yeoman's healing home, and she was being ministered to there. And the first, remember, because the Word of God is medicine to all of our flesh.
Right.
So she prescribed, Lillian B. Yeoman's prescribed medicine to her. She said, you know, Deuteronomy 28 says sickness is the curse of the law.
That's right.
Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Yes.
Tuberculosis, that's what it was,
yeah.
Tuberculosis. Right. So she said, according to the Word of God, as a New Testament, because this lady that came was a believer, as a New Testament believer, you have been redeemed from the curse of the law, and tuberculosis is part of the curse of the law.
Right.
So I want you to begin to say, according to Deuteronomy 28, tuberculosis is the curse of the law, according to Galatians 3:13. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, so I'm healed of tuberculosis.
Come on. Come on.
She said, I don't understand that. She said, it's all right. Just keep saying it.
Yeah.
That's what Lillian B. Yeoman told her. It's all right. And she said that for 3 days. If I heard the story, if I remember the story right, she said that for 3 days, not really understanding what she was saying. She's in the latter stages of, you know, really, she's dying. And one day, Lillian B. Yeoman's in the kitchen making food for all the people there. And she heard a thump upstairs. Somebody fell out of bed or jumped out of bed or something. And a scurry and a noise in the bedroom. And then somebody came bounding down the steps. Now, this lady's bedfast. But she came bounding down the steps. She said, did you know that Deuteronomy 28 says that tuberculosis is part of the curse of the law? And Galatians 3:13 says, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law?
Yeah.
And did you know I'm healed of tuberculosis?
Yeah.
She's standing there completely healed by the power of God.
Hallelujah.
Because she schooled herself into faith.
Amen.
And when faith came, now it took on creative power. It was no longer a confession unto faith. It was a confession of faith.
That's so good.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Anybody can school their spirit into abundance.
Yeah. All right.
I got a difference. I'm different on the inside than I used to be concerning abundance.
Come on.
Doesn't happen overnight.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Amen.
So mightily grew
the Word
and prevailed. It can grow and start prevailing a little bit.
Right.
I remember when he first started schooling me in prosperity, he started, you know, because I told you, I said to the Lord, help me. I'm proving that I can't do this without you. Amen. I've proven I can fail all by myself. I don't need God. I can do that. Anybody else prove that? So I said to the Lord, help me. So he began to help me. And he began to help me with it. He took me right back to the Word. Took me right back. That's where our help is. It's in the Word. And he started schooling me and teaching me. And I began to see some things. And after a few years, I said, no wonder. My goodness. My thinking was so wrong about so many things. So anyway, and the Word started growing. And it started working for us. We started seeing some results. And we're rejoicing, getting some results, and moving forward. Praise the Lord. I don't give that testimony to bring attention to ourselves. I'm trying to draw attention to the Word.
Yes, sir.
Look what the Word will do.
Yes.
And so, but anyway, we got to a stage and sort of leveled out for a while. I'll never forget the Lord said to me one day, I was meditating on, I think, the parable of the sower, and it talks about the measure you meet will be the measure that comes back to you.
That's
measure. Say measure.
Measure.
That means the degree of thought and study and honor and faith that you mix with the Word will determine how much the Word produces for you. It can produce for you little. And that's what he said to me. He said, my Word will work big like it'll work little.
Praise God.
He was challenging me to go to another level.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I started, I started going for another level and got to that level and thought that was big and found out that wasn't big.
Come on now. Come on. Yes, sir.
You know what I'm talking about? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. But it'll keep growing. It'll keep prevailing. It can prevail mightily. Praise God. So did you get that? The first stage of confession might not necessarily change any circumstances, but it'll change the image on the inside. It'll build faith on the inside. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. The Word of God is more powerful than anything that has stood before you trying to hinder your progress. Things that have looked at, remember we talked about the mountain? Things that look like they're impossible. Things that for all your life, you've been making plans to always to go around it because it's this big imposing hindrance.
Come on. Come on.
That's what a mountain is. It's a hindrance.
Hallelujah.
That's why I like the airplane so much. You can watch all the hindrances go by. It is. That's a blessing. Tremendous blessing. So, praise God. Now, that process of building the Word into your spirit, which gets rid of old mentalities and old ways of believing, that process may take weeks or months. I said maybe not, but it may take weeks or months until you get some old things out of you. I remember whenever I went to Rhema, I said, Lord, afterwards, because all my friends said, I'm going to, you know, pastor this church or be a youth minister and all that. And I'm like, oh, well, I hadn't thought about what I'm going to do after Rhema. I'm so having fun in Rhema. Lord, where am I supposed to go? Crickets. Okay, next day. Well, Lord, where am I supposed to, what am I supposed to do after Rhema? Crickets. Nothing. He never would talk to me.
Yeah.
Finally, I just stopped asking. And finally, he got through to me. He said, I want you to stay right here. You know what he said to me? He said, it took all of Rhema to get a lot of things out of you. Now I want to build some things into you.
Amen.
Thank God for some of these young people that have been raised under this kind of word.
Yeah,
don't have to get all that out of them.
Yeah.
They don't have to forget how to doubt.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't have to deal with all that.
Yes, come on.
Some of you got it so good. Some of you got it so good. I'm thankful for you. Praise God. Okay. But, see, these things can seem to prevail. They want to stay there. These old ways of thinking, these old imaginations, the old ways of seeing yourself. But you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty. Mighty. Through God. To do what? Pull these things down. And replace them with the truth. As they do get replaced, the truth will prevail. Praise God. So, all right, now, that's the introduction. Remember I said earlier that Satan is so weak that you got out of the kingdom of darkness by believing and speaking words. That's a weak, weak guy. Think about that. Remember Revelation, what is that, 11, 12? It talks about they overcame him. By the blood of the 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
The devil is whipped with the blood.
Yes.
And your words of faith.
Yes.
In the blood.
Yes.
He's whipped with words.
Yes.
He's whipped. Jesus whipped him.
Yep.
But he'll try to stop you and try to hinder you. But you can take what Jesus did through his blood and whip him with the words of faith in that blood. In other words, his supremacy was defeated by your confession of faith. When you said, Jesus, be my Lord, come into my heart, I confess you as Savior and Lord. Satan's supremacy, just like that, was cut off. And you didn't have to battle. You didn't have to fight. Wrestle with the devil.
That's right.
Right? You just release faith with words. In what Jesus already did. And instantly, Jesus became your Lord, and Satan's supremacy was defeated. I think we ought to think about the fact that that same principle will work for healing in every other area of life. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And so that same principle will put you under Jesus' protective care. Because he is, as your Savior, I like what it says in Ephesians. Talks about husbands, love your wives. Remember that? And it talks about Jesus there. I don't know where you are. I'm in Ephesians close to 5 here. But it talks about wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, and he's the head of the wife, so forth. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. And then he says, he's the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Most places, it talks about Jesus being the savior of the world. Here, he's talking about his people that are already born again. We're already saved. But he has other things that he wants to save you from. I mean, he's really, really already done it. But I mean, he wants you to tap into.
Yes. Come on.
He wants to be your savior from accidents.
Yes.
Deliver you from accidents.
Come on. Amen.
There's deliverance in your words.
Yes. That's so good.
Look at this. Proverbs. Go to Proverbs. Notice what it says here in Proverbs. And chapter number 12, verse 6. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Your mouth can deliver you.
Yes.
Deliverance is more than having, you know, being free from devils. How about delivered from accidents?
Yes, come on.
Right.
Delivered from tragedy. Delivered from derechos and, you know, things that we can identify with. Not because we believe in for them, but you know what I mean? We've been through stuff. Deliverance. Amen. A car pulls out in front of you. In the name of Jesus. You can be delivered from things like that. We've had testimonies of that. Several testimonies. Praise God. So he's not just wanting, you know, okay, you're saved now. Just make it through the best you can. No, he's got a lot of different things that he wants us to tap into. But here it says, the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. There's deliverance in right confession. Don't be like Sanford on Sanford and Son. Oh, it's a heart attack. It's a heart attack. Remember that guy?
Right.
You know that man had a heart attack?
Yeah, he did.
Kept talking about heart attacks.
Yep.
Well, he was just funning. Well, the devil don't. No. He'll take advantage of you funning.
Yes. Come on.
Amen. So I don't talk sickness. I don't talk, somebody said, we've known this for years, Pastor. Well, sometimes I get around you and I don't think you know it yet.
Amen.
It's not just the hearing of the word that blesses our lives. It's our mouth. It's our mouth.
Amen.
Amen. It's that lousy mouth.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. The mouth of the upright will deliver them. The three Hebrew children were delivered from the strategy of a wicked king that wanted to throw them in the burning fiery furnace. They were delivered by their mouth.
Yes.
You read the whole story. A lot of people misunderstand what they said. They said, the Lord is able to deliver us and he will.
Yes.
And then it looks like they said, and if he doesn't, we won't bow down. If you look at the context, they didn't say if God doesn't deliver us. They were saying, if you don't throw us in, we're still not going to bow down. People get off on that. You know, if he doesn't. No, they weren't speaking unbelief. They already said he will deliver us. It doesn't matter. Somebody said, well, so-and-so's, if it just wasn't for my unsaved husband, you know, my unsaved husband, I could really serve God if my husband would get in to serve God. No, your deliverance and victory is not in your husband getting saved. Yours is in your being saved.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
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 Felt that lead balloon right there, didn't you? That floated like a lead balloon. But you need to think about that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So they prevailed. The three Hebrew children prevailed over the devices of another king, of a wicked king, excuse me. So it doesn't matter what other people say. It matters what you say. This king said, this is what I'm going to do. And they said, our God will deliver us. It doesn't matter what other people say. Well, they're not in faith with me. Well, your faith will work.
Yes, amen.
I'm talking about unsaved husbands. Your faith will work. And I like David's account of defeating Goliath. There was a war of words before there was ever any stones flying through the air. Goliath said, come here, I'm going to feed you to the dogs. And David said, I'm going to this day take your head off of you. And there was a back and forth. If you read it, there was words. It didn't matter what Goliath said. It mattered what David said. What you need to do is, you know, when the devil's yakety-yak-yak, you need to always be sure and have the last word. Because David, if you read the account, he got the last word. When Big Mouth kept saying something, he kept answering it. He kept answering him. Amen. Amen. You know, the thoughts come. There's a lot goes on in people's minds. And when thoughts come to you that are against the Word of God, recognize that and answer them out loud. Right. Don't fight thoughts with thoughts. Fight thought, if you want to call it fighting. Thoughts with words. Yes. Use your words.
Hallelujah.
Use your words.
Amen.
You feel a pain and the devil says, there's a heart attack. You're going to die. You know, your grandpa, he died, and your daddy, he died, and your uncle, they say you look like him. He died. You know, of a heart attack. All of them died of a heart attack. Feel that pain? That's you. You're going to die of a heart attack.
Oh, come on.
You answer that with words.
Exactly.
You said, I live and not die. With long life, he'll satisfy me and satisfy me with his salvation.
Come on. Amen.
I know it's so simple, but we needed to be encouraged in it. Hallelujah. And David didn't start with Goliath. He prevailed over the lion and the bear first. Praise the Lord. That story with the three Hebrew children, I love something Dr. Bill Winston said at the Southwest Believers Convention. He said that the king said, and then they said, they spoke their faith in God. And then the king turned the heat up on the furnace seven times. And Brother Bill Winston, he said, the devil will turn the heat up on your confession of faith to try to get you to back off. Get you to back off. And he'll turn the circumstances. You start releasing your faith, and the circumstances will get worse.
Oh, yeah.
That's him turning the fire up seven times hotter.
Yeah. Come on.
But just know his strategies and don't fall for it, and hold fast.
Hold fast.
Hold fast. Why would we have to be encouraged to hold fast if there's not going to be temptation to let go? Which brings up something that people say. Let go and let God. Is there any verse that says let go and let God?
At all.
No, I read of, you know, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. Lay hold.
Lay hold. Hallelujah.
Doesn't sound like let
go. No.
Is that similar? Let go and let God and then lay hold.
No, sir.
Fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So don't fall for his strategies.
Amen.
Oh, my. Really, there's many things God has already blessed you with. And he wants them to be in your life. But you have to provide the channel from which they flow into your life. Amen. That supply for your life is brought into your life through your words. Amen. So can we talk about some things not to talk about? We're going to begin to think about, commencing to think about, wrapping this up. Talking about things not to talk about. Don't talk about how the devil is hindering you. How he's keeping you broke or sick. Amen. Every time you say that, it gives him a edge. Because I don't know if you've ever, boy, we could take this so many directions. There's so many things going around in the inside of me, but the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. And that's a couple of times in the Bible. So in the mouth of two or three witnesses, in order for something to be established in your life, there needs to be at least two witnesses. Well, think about it. God's saying some things. The enemy's saying some things, and neither of them have a second witness yet.
Right, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
So You'll hear the word of God like you're doing this morning. You'll hear the enemy talk to you,
right,
maybe throughout your week or whatever.
Come on.
And neither of them have the second witness.
Right.
So it can't be established.
That's right.
As soon as you take one or the other,
right,
listen to them, believe them, and then say what they're saying, they've got a second witness. Now that's what's going to be established.
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
That's why Mark 11:23 didn't say you'll have what God said.
That's right.
He said you'll have what you say.
Right.
You say.
Amen.
Pastor, we've known this for 25 years. That doesn't mean anything.
No, sir. Not at all.
Doesn't mean anything.
Yes.
It's got to be updated every day, every day, every day, every day.
Amen.
We used to be back in Rhema days when I was in Bible school. We were radical about this. Remember when you first got a hold of the word, you were radical about it.
Yeah.
Let's get back to it.
Yes.
All right, so don't say how the devil's hindering you. Don't talk about how he's keeping you broke or sick.
Right.
That gives him the authority to do that. And don't talk about your difficulty. I used to have hardness in my mouth all the time. You know what I mean by hardness? I mean, it's just so hard. How's it going? Oh, it's been tough. But I changed that. Because that's what you're going to have. Jesus said you'll have what you say. I started speaking the easy flow. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Woo, I'll take that over hardness any day. Does that mean we won't ever have any opposition or any tests or trials? No, you'll just go through them easily. Without the care of it, without the worry of it. Praise the Lord. How about this? Don't talk about your lack of money.
Amen.
Boy, oh boy.
Amen.
Amen. Start saying like we've been saying. Somebody's going to give unto me, you know.
Yes.
Or you know, it might not come. See, let's just do something here. Maybe we should do more often. It might not come to you like it does to those in the ministry.
Uh-huh.
It might come to you through a business transaction or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? But whatever, however it needs to come,
yeah,
you just say, it's going to happen unto me that I have a business transaction that brings in $10,000 or something like that.
Yep. Yes, sir. Amen.
But then don't just sit back and twiddle your thumbs and start seeking God about what to do.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I heard just the other day, just when Friday, I believe it was, I was talking to a businessman here in the city, and he said, did you know, he said, my neighbor, he's now in heaven. He was a Christian man, but I think he just recently went to heaven. He said, did you know he was a billionaire? He lives right here in Cedar Rapids. He was a billionaire. He said, there are not too many billionaires in Iowa.
Right.
That needs to change.
Yeah.
But he said, but my neighbor was a billionaire. He said, I said, that's awesome. He's a Christian. He brought glory. Yeah, he glorified God. He was, you know, I especially appreciate people that are born again, that are wealthy. And then also people that are honoring God with it.
Amen.
Amen.
Give him the glory for
Amen.
It. And then honor him with the giving and so
Amen.
Forth. But anyway, he was that man. I think he was a good Methodist man, born again. He honored God. But he said, and then he started, this businessman that knew him, he was his neighbor, he started telling me a little bit about him. And he said, and he told me about one transaction he made over, hundreds of millions of dollars on just one transaction.
Wow.
Within just a short period of time, I think it was a year or two.
Wow.
He bought, I think it was a piece of something or real estate or something, and turned it around.
Yeah.
Made hundreds of millions of dollars.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
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 Don't talk about poverty. Let me say something.
Yeah.
Peter was in business fishing
right.
when Jesus called him.
Right.
Mark or Luke 5. He's in business fishing.
Right.
And his business isn't producing.
Right.
He fished all night and
right.
didn't produce anything.
Right.
But Jesus came by and asked to use his boat, and he let him use the boat. And then he said, push out your boat off the water, off the shore a little bit,
yeah.
and let down your nets
yeah.
for a draft.
Right.
Yeah. Say out loud, a draft.
A draft.
And that's another way of saying, I don't know if you, it's spelled G-R-A-U-G-H-T in the King James Bible. But I looked it up just the other day. Now I'm getting ahead of myself here. You'll hear more of this.
All right.
But I looked that up and they said, that's the Greek word. I mean, that's the British spelling for the word draft, D-R-A-F-T, draft. And they said, for example, draft horses. Well, I grew up around the Amish. They had draft horses. And I knew what draft horses were. They're those big ones that you use to pull heavy stuff. And the word draft, Jesus said, let down your nets for a draft. I guess this is in my heart, so I got off on this. But let down your net for a draft. In other words, if I looked it up in the dictionary, it says a heavy pool or a big haul. Ooh. Let down your necks for a big haul.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Praise God. Heavy pool.
Yeah. Come on.
Jesus doesn't have little pools for you. He's got big pools. Woo. Let down your nets for a big haul.
Yeah. Big haul.
Yeah. Truckers talk about hauling, you know. They're pulling that load. So let down for and that draft horse, he's big and he's gonna pull in the big stuff, you know. Well, Peter's business hadn't been working. It's floundering. He didn't remember. We fished all night and didn't catch anything. So, but how many of you know it wasn't because there were no fish out there?
Right. Come on.
Let's say Jesus preached an hour. I don't know, 2 hours. Huh? Two and a half. wait, Revelation's flowing. But let's say it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Did those fish just get into that lake within that 2.5 hours?
Nope.
No, they're there the whole time.
They were there the whole time. Yes, sir.
They're there. See, that's what I'm saying. You are operating in an economy that has wealth all around you.
All around.
And you might be pulling in trickles.
Yeah.
But it's there the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Come on with it.
There's abundance there the whole time.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
You got to learn to pull.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Learn to get a hold of the big haul.
Yeah.
I'm still talking about don't pour mouth. Don't talk about your lack of money. There's abundance all around you. You drive home, and would it take you 15, 20 minutes to get home, some of you? You drive home, but by the time you drive home, all the value of the roads you drove on, all the value of the real estate you passed, all the infrastructure, you know, the sewer under the streets, the lights, the stoplights, everything. All that infrastructure, you've driven past billions and billions of dollars of wealth. Multiplied billions of dollars of wealth. Well, if it's all around you.
Come on.
Well, I just don't have enough. Well, see, you're not letting down your nets for a big haul.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory. So don't talk about lack. Don't talk about there's just no money. It's amazing to me how people sitting right beside people sitting, there is no money, and yet somebody sitting right there is worth 150 times what they've ever imagined. Amen. It's out there. Tell your neighbor it's out there. You got to learn to see. That's what you're going to do this week. You're going to let down your nets into the flow of camp meeting for a big haul. Big haul. And the thing about this hall is there's more in the supply than just finances. There's healing.
Amen.
There's peace for your mind.
Praise
God. We got into the second song of praise and worship this morning, and the camp meeting anointing hit me sitting right here. It's like, whoa, yeah, it's on. Praise God. Better get here. So don't talk about your lack of money. Don't talk about your lack of faith. Praise the Lord. Don't talk about your lack of faith. Well, I just have a little bit of faith. Well, Jesus said if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed.
Yeah.
Talk about the power that's in whatever you got.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God. The devil wants you to be talking about how little your faith is. Besides that, you got to ask yourself what little faith is. Scripturally, what is little faith? Because you remember Jesus, Peter walked on the water and then began to sink. And Lord help me. And he caught him and took him back to the boat and says, why are you so fearful? How is it you have little faith? Remember that? That's me. People look at that. That's me, little faith. Get a hanky. Just wish I had more faith. Little faith. That's what the devil always tells people. They just got little faith. He wouldn't dare. Nobody. Do a survey. How many of you got great faith? Not many hands would go up.
Come on.
Mine's just little. Well, okay, let's say it is. I don't know. Let's just say it is. Besides that, you can have great faith in one area and little faith in another area.
Sure.
Let's just take one area. Okay, let's say you have little faith in this area. Whatever. Any area. Okay, let's say you do have little faith. Okay. Peter had little faith.
Right.
If we're going to believe what Jesus said, he had little faith. Okay? Because Peter didn't say he had little faith. Jesus said, oh, thou little faith. So he had little faith.
Right.
And what did he do with it? He did the impossible.
He sure did.
Right.
No, no, no. He sank. No, no, no. He walked on water. Was Jesus accurate? Did he have little faith?
He had little faith.
He had little faith.
That's right.
I mean, Jesus is a good. I mean, if he says you got little faith, you got little faith.
That's right.
Okay. So he had little faith and he walked on water.
With little faith.
With little faith. So little faith will do big things.
Yes.
And that's what Jesus said. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'd say, unto this mountain. He didn't say if you, it'd be there and it would obey you. He didn't say if you had faith as a mountain, you could say to this mustard seed.
Right.
Yeah, come on.
That's the reverse standard version. Little faith will do great things.
Yes.
Poke your neighbor and tell him that. Little faith will do great things. It'll do great things. Well, then how do we interpret what Jesus said, oh, thou little faith? I'll tell you exactly. You look it up. The word little, you look that word up. It doesn't mean puny, small, tiny, you know, just not big enough to walk on water. It doesn't mean puny or small. It literally means for a season, for a while.
Yes.
Briefly.
Yes.
It literally means short.
Yeah.
You remember Zacchaeus climbed up a tree because he was of little stature.
Yes, sir.
He's a short little fellow.
Yeah.
Some of us are giants, but some of us are short little people. That's an inside joke, you guys. But so short, Zacchaeus, right?
Yeah.
He's of little stature. We know that means short.
That's right.
Short.
Short.
That's the same word Jesus used when he said little faith.
Yeah.
So interpret it that way. O thou of short faith. O thou of abbreviated faith. O thou of a for a season faith.
All right.
Now it makes sense.
That's right.
Because that's exactly what he did. He believed, he used his faith for a while. For a season. And it worked. Some of you just got set free right there. Free from the devil's harassment. You know, you just got little faith. Well, listen, a little bit. If it is little, just keep on using it. Just keep on using it.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Praise God. And it will prevail. Mightily will grow the word and prevail. Praise God. So don't talk about your little faith. Don't talk about your unworthiness, your condemnation. Don't talk about death.
Right. Come on.
There are a lot of phrases in the world around you that employ death.
Yep.
Just tickled me to death. Just scared me to death. Right? There's a lot of death in people's talk, in their t-shirts, just death, death, death. T-shirts with skulls on them. I'm not dead and I'm not talking death. I'm alive and I'm going to stay alive till I finish my course. Don't talk death. Don't talk condemnation. Amen. Don't tell everybody. See, don't talk your doubts. Don't talk your doubts. Somebody said, but I have doubts. Well, don't talk them. Don't talk them. See, if you keep talking them, you're nursing them, giving them a bottle, growing them up.
Yeah. Come on.
And they'll keep growing and they'll prevail.
Yeah.
Don't talk your doubts. Well, but I'm just so full of doubt. So in the middle of all that, say, thank God I got the measure of faith. Because you do.
Yeah.
You do.
Amen.
So don't talk your doubts.
Amen.
You know, if you're tempted to doubt, let's say it this way. If you walk in a store and you're tempted to steal something, you don't tell everybody you meet, you know, I was tempted to steal that today. I was tempted to steal. No, you don't talk about that. Well, don't talk about your doubts either. I'm just so tempted to doubt. I just don't know if Jesus is Lord or not. You don't talk about, you say, Jesus, you answer those stuff.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. So we got some don'ts in today. Don't talk your doubts. Don't talk in fear. Don't talk intimidation. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this? Faith's confessions determine that what you have in your life. It'll make you a master of your circumstances.
Amen.
Praise be to God. How many of you know you're really going to reign through your words like a king? Remember Romans 5:17, we reign in life.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
So
to finish this up, let's finish this up by saying this. I remember there was a man. One of the greatest examples I've ever seen of this is prevailing through your words. It was a man in healing school. He came... I didn't know at the time. I didn't know that he was a new person attending. And he came with lung cancer, except I didn't know that. And he's in, well, I don't know what stage he was in, but he was in the kind of condition to where, you know, even with oxygen, he's using oxygen, he came with, just to get from the car into the auditorium, he sounded like this. You know, but even with oxygen. I don't know, sounds like a pretty latter stage. But so anyway, he's sitting there and I didn't know it was cancer. I didn't think about it. You know how it is. I didn't even think about the fact that it's his lungs. I didn't know. I guess there's different reasons people could, you know, be gasping for breath, but most likely lungs. But I never really thought about it. I just knew the word was being preached and that it was his answer. Well, we were preaching on some very similar things that I'm talking about here. And, you know, just about the words of your mouth. And then I had a prompting. I said to everybody, let's stand. And I said, let's say some things. And you repeat after me. And I said, say this out loud. I call my, and I started naming different body parts. You know, whatever. I don't know I don't remember everything I said. Maybe kidneys or ankles or whatever. I just started calling out different body parts that seemed to come up in my heart. I call my kidneys healed, and they would repeat after me. I call my ankles healed, and then I just was going through as things came up out of my spirit. And but then I got to lungs. I call my lungs healed. They all said that. And then I said, in my mind, I'm thinking I'm going to say something else. Maybe I was going to say heart or something else. But it came up out of my spirit, lungs, the second time. My mouth wanted to say lungs. So I just yielded to that. And the second time I said lungs. Bless you with some spit. But so I said lungs twice. Okay, I'm going to say something else. I call my lungs. My tongue wanted to say lungs. And so we said that over and over again. I call my lungs healed. Now that's just taking what the Word of God says. And saying I'm redeemed from sickness, including my lungs. And we kept saying that. Well, after a while I wasn't thinking to say anything else, I realized what the Holy Ghost was doing. I kept saying lungs. I call my lungs healed. I call my lungs healed. Well, we did that who knows how many times. And finally, I stopped and I said, who is that? The Holy Ghost obviously is working on somebody's lungs. That man lifted his hands. He said, that's me. That's me. And that's when I found out he had been diagnosed with lung cancer. And at whatever stage he was, it was latter stages. And so we just kept on saying, thank you, Lord. We call his lungs healed. We all turned our attention toward him because the Holy Ghost is directing us that way. We call his lungs healed. We all were in agreement with him. He kept saying it. And he said, And he started breathing better. He said, it's already starting. I can feel it on the inside. I said, well, that's because we're agreeing with what God told us about your lungs. And, but anyway, he went back to the doctor. I don't remember the portion of his lungs that, because we found out a lot of things later. A great big portion of his breathing capacity had already gone. It was well over 50%. But he said, the doctor, you know, he went to visit his doctor, same doctor. And he said, I want you to check my lungs. And he said, okay, well, you know, what's that called, stethoscope? Mm-hmm. And he put it in his ears and he put it on the man's lungs. He said, breathe. And he breathed. He said, that's interesting. Do that again. You've heard me tell this testimony. He said, do that again. And he kept doing it. Yeah. And he said, he took the stethoscope out. He said, when you do that, I can hear those lungs. Yeah. Your lungs sound a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And then tested them later and found it on the test. But he said, your lungs, I can hear this. When you breathe, he described it like a little popping sound, not just kind of noise, not a slight pop or something. And he said, and I know what that is. He said, what is it, Doc? He said, that's the lung cells that cancer deflated or destroyed. That's them reinflating. That's what the doctor said. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't know what that would sound like. But he said, I can hear it.
Yeah.
And they finally, and he stayed in faith for weeks. And finally, they gave him a clean bill of health. The doctor said, your lungs are completely restored. Hallelujah. Went from normal to way down. I'm wanting to say 30% left of his use of his lungs or something like that. Way down. And how many of you need to believe if it went this way, it can go this way? Why do we always believe it can get worse, but it can't? No, the power of God through our words of our mouth can prevail over going this way.
Amen.
Well, what if I don't get it all in one pop? Well, hey, take it in phases.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Hagin used to say, if I can't believe for 2 million, I believe for 1 million.
Yeah, come on.
Just take it in stages. Glory. And he was completely healed, given a clean bill of health. Amen. And he didn't even want to come to healing school. His wife prevailed on him.
Amen.
And said, no, you'll get a lot out of it. I want you to come. Because his wife was full of the word, but he wasn't. He was kind of a nominal Christian. But he got so far. Then Jesus healed his lungs 2,000 years ago, and he tapped into it with his words. And he got so fired up about that, about how good God is, he said, I need to go to Bible school. I got a call of God on my life. He went to Rhema and finished Rhema, and I lost track of him, but he went out to do something for God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's called prevailing.
Amen.
So mightily grew the word in that man and prevailed. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God for the truth. Praise God for the truth. Thank you, Jesus. You can prevail over anything that opposes you. The word is greater than anything opposing you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can in experience, maybe it's in different areas. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's different areas. Wherever it is, you can feel like you keep hitting a block wall, so to speak. You know what I'm talking about? Just a hindrance, something you can go so far, and then you just can't seem to get past that, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your finances, whatever. But how many of you know you get enough of the Word of God in you, it'll cause you to bust through that.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The psalmist in the Old Testament said, you will light my fire.
Yeah.
Light my candle, O Lord. And then he said, "You when you light my candle, then I'll leap over a wall.
Yeah.
You ever read that?
Come on.
Well, that wall is something that's been a hindrance.
Yes.
And he said, when you light my candle, that's the word of God, lighten up your spirit. And that's when faith comes, by the way. He said, then I'll be able to get past that hindrance.
Yes.
Spirit of Faith Family Church is not the first church of the flat faces.
Come on.
Where we keep running and hitting the wall. Boom, boom. Amen. We get past those things that try to hinder us. And the Word of God getting into our spirits, what gives us the ability to get past it. Praise God. Learn to not be okay with just every year being the same. No progress in certain areas. It's not okay with me. It's not okay with me. It's like hitting my get in the yes. prayer closet and find out yes. what do I need to do to get past this. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Tell your neighbor it's not okay with you. Amen. You got to keep getting past some stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I keep sensing you got something. You got something. Well, just obey God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
There are some. Some remain going. You know how you see something getting ready to happen. Some are standing going like this. Like this. Okay, I'm going to go now, Pastor. I got fume. I'm going to go now. I'm going to go. Stop going. I'm going to go. Just go. Just go.
Yeah.
Just go. Just go. There's somebody in here, you're dealing with a housing situation. That's what I see. A housing situation. And you're like, God, I need God to come through right now. Are you here?
Yeah.
Are you here? Come up here. Housing situation. I need something right now for God to turn it around.
Yeah.
This will be a demonstration to you of this message.
Thank you, Jesus.
It'll be a demonstration to you of this message. What time is it? 12 o'clock on August 4th. Something changed completely.
Yeah.
That's what I hear and that's what I see. You're coming to more. Like, completely. It's not money. It's not money.
Yeah.
It's not money. It's just going forth for it. Amen. There's been a battle in the head, Nathaniel. It's just like, if I can only. You've gotten up in the middle of the night even, going, if I can. You can't make the thoughts go, but you can prevail over the thoughts with the word, just like we've heard. Amen. Give me your two hands.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, house settle. From this day forward, it comes, it clears, it will no longer be tied to you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, restore. Restore. Angels, go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, for a clearer path.
Thank you, Jesus.
A clearer path. Yeah, a different situation. Walk it out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father. Give me your hands. Thank you for new access. Access to more. Access to more. Access to more.
Don't limit yourself.
Don't limit yourself. Don't limit yourself and don't point to any man, but point to your knowledge of what God said to you.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you that she comes into all that's available to her. Yeah.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, quit quoting what it's been like. Okay? Are you hearing me? Quit referring to what it's been like.
Yeah.
Quit referring to it. Because each time you refer to him, it draws you back to it.
Yeah.
There's a leap before you to go forward.
Mm.
Hey, hallelujah. Get it.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
For all that's available to our sister. And we say, Father, she comes into it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for uncommon favor. Favor.
Yes.
Favor. Favor. Here's your song. He favors me. He favors me. He favors me.
Thank you,
Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, that this healing flow just left my hand. Is there something like a bump somewhere in your feet? Go! and never return.
Thank
in
you,
Jesus'
Lord
name.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Father, for favor. Favor,
yes,
favor,
yes,
favor,
yes,
favor,
yes,
favor.
Yes, yes,
beyond
yes,
your natural comprehension. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
You didn't have more.
Yes, yes, yes.
You didn't
yes,
have
yes,
more.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Father, for favor. Thank you. Your word can do what no man can do in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Receive that.
Glory
receive
to God.
That.
Receive,
receive
that.
That.
Glory
receive
to God.
That.
Hallelujah.
Receive that.
Glory to God.
Ooh, glory.
Hallelujah.
My.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Don, it's not
praise
late.
God.
It's not late. It's not late. All those things you've written down for years, I see them right in front of you. It's not late. God can still bring you right into them.
Yes.
Amen. Thank
Hallelujah.
God for the word. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. That's all.
Thank you, Jesus. Right here, somebody.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank
you, Father, for your hunger in him growing. 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 And it will bring. Renesi Lifaya.
Thank you,
in
Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank
There's
you, Jesus.
Nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Are you here? There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just a decision to lay hold of the word and the word only. It's working for
Hallelujah.
You. And it will work for you. Amen. Father, I thank you for restructuring that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. What we preach this morning will work for being tripped up by the lust of the flesh. Romans 6 talks about where he that is dead is freed from sin. And sin shall not have dominion over you if you're not under the law. You can start saying, I'm dead to that. Whatever it is that keeps tripping you up, I'm dead to that. And sin, that doesn't have dominion over me. If a man was bound, you've heard this illustration, but if a man was bound with alcohol his whole life and then dies, in the past, I mean, if he just got a whiff of alcohol, every alcohol-hungry cell in his body came alive. But whenever he's dead and in the casket, you can pass a open alcohol in front of his nose and he'll not come up out of the casket. Why? He's dead. Right? Romans 6. Take Romans 6 that says, I'm dead. To sin. What is it? Verse 6, 7, 8, down and through there. And then down there a few verses later, verse 12 or 14, somewhere down there, it says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, you're under grace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So you can say, I'm dead to this. I'm dead to this, this affliction, or you know what I'm talking about, looking for the right word, addiction or something like that, where the flesh keeps getting tripped up and prevail over it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is just how faith works.
Yes.
Well, but I'm not yet. Oh, but you are. You're crucified with Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's just calling things that be not as though they were.
Amen.
Amen. That's what Abraham did. And prevail over it and be totally free as if it never bound you. Hallelujah.